From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, tremendous Wednesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. Father Mitch Pacwa is in the house, ready to take your questions. We're live from the exposition floor at the Catholic Marketing Network event here this year in Birmingham, Alabama. Our thanks to Silvio Song and the whole group here at Catholic Marketing Network for hosting us. Father Mitch gave the keynote at their breakfast this morning. And if you're in the area, wander on down and sample the wares here at the Catholic Marketing Network event. If you'd like to be part of the program with Father Mitch, give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. That number is 1-205-276-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line. Or you can send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall back in the studio spinning the dials, producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Jeff Burson handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, it may just type a question into the chat window and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, as he is every Wednesday, the aforementioned Father Mitch Pacwa, how are you?
Groovy.
Groovy. Do you have some emails there? The emails.
I do.
The emails also made their way to the exposition hall down here in downtown Birmingham.
Pretty neat how they travel. Okay. Couple interesting questions here. First, simple one. I was stunned to learn that Pope Francis will be meeting with another pope. Coptic Pope Tewodros II will meet with Pope Francis this week. Now, this is back in May. I did not know there was more than one pope in the world, so I looked it up. Not only are there two popes, but four. Can you please give a little background as to how there are four popes? Only Pope Francis is legitimate, right? A little side story. I once visited a student whose family was Coptic. I saw the Blessed Virgin Mary statue in the garden. A Coptic priest was in the house. I asked him if he believed in the pope. Looking back, I guess he's referring to his pope. I was referring to mine, Joan. Well, first of all, Joan, the word pope is papa in a lot of languages, and it means father. And so they call the head of the Coptic Orthodox Church papa or father, and just like we do. So that's why you have the it's a title that is used all over the world, to just mean father, and you know that's why we'll hear Italian say "Viva il Santo Papa," you know that's just the word that they use for the Holy Father, and that's why. You see that in the different Orthodox communions. So that's all that's going on there. It's really not, so strange. That's just what they do. So that's a good thing. Now, let me give another one here. Father Mitch, hello from St. Florian's Parish, now called Christ Our Light Parish, in Hegwisch, Chicago. The reason that Father David is giving me that shout out, Father David Simonetti. Some of you may have remembered him. He was on my show a couple years ago, mm-hmm. talking about how he makes spaghetti sauce and uses that to, help support the parish and all. But also, that's the parish where my great great grandparents came, and they helped build it back when they came from Poland. My great-grandparents and family, my grandparents all went there. So anyway, that's why I reached from there. I have two questions. First is regarding the birth of the year of Christ's birth. Biblical scholars seem to hold that King Herod died in 4 BC. If this is the case, they propose that Jesus may have been born between 6 and 5 BC. But it then followed that if Jesus died in 33, he'd be 38, or that he died in 30. First of all, the problem comes from this. There was a scholar hired by the Roman emperor in Constantinople in the 500s, just the Emperor Justinian. And the scholar that he got to work on this was called Dionysius Exiguus. And he was trying to do as much research as he could to figure out, because up until that time, everybody dated history from the first Olympics. That's what, and they organized time in Olympiads so that it was in groups of 4 years. Well, Dionysius Exiguus was kind of slow in getting the research done, same thing that my publisher complains about with me. And so he was told to hurry up, and because he was told to hurry up, he made a mistake by 4 years. He was off by one Olympiad in figuring out when Herod died and therefore when Christ's birth was. So that's why you have that discrepancy. But if Christ was about 30, according to St. Luke, he was 30 when he began the public ministry. Therefore, he would have been crucified right around the year 30 or so. And I personally think that he began the public ministry in the year 27 AD. The reason for that, it's not, by the way, I didn't come up with that research, but the it was done by a really fine German Benedictine named Father Bargil Pixner. And he bases it on John chapter 2, when he is in the temple, and he said, destroy this temple and I'll build it in 3 days. And he's speaking about his own body. And they understand to refer to the temple, and they say, well, the temple was started 40-some years ago, 42 years ago. Well, that's how we can date that. That would put the date from, based on when they began building the temple mount, that would put it at 27. But there's another significance to that. A lot of people don't pay attention to. 27 AD was the last Jewish jubilee before the destruction of the temple.
Interesting.
And Christ's ministry is a jubilee proclamation. Remember how when Christ began his preaching, he quoted from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me for a year of favor. That was a jubilee text from the jubilee of 473 BC. And so he quotes a jubilee text in what would be the last jubilee before the destruction of the temple. So I think that's what's going on there. The second question, when a man asked Jesus, teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me, Jesus says, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And Jesus goes on to caution the crowd to beware of covetousness. So this man is not interested in Jesus' Messiah, but wanted his own earthly riches to be increased by Jesus judging in favor of him about inheritance over his brother. And the problem is, the question is this. Would you then consider it wrong to pray to the Lord for good outcomes in court, even for sake of justice? And this was something that Question. Well, Father David, I don't think that's a problem. You know, you want to pray for justice. Justice is a virtue God requires in the court throughout the Old Testament legislation. You should pray for that. But to pray that I get a, you know, lottery or something like that, that's foolishness. One time I was in Las Vegas for a conference, and people said, "Bless my machine." I said, "No, I don't bless foolishness." You know, so that would be the thing. It's good to pray for justice. Don't pray just to get a bunch of money.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, you can join a deeper conversation about the most consequential issues facing Catholics today on EWTN News In-Depth, hosted by our newly minted president of EWTN News, Monse Alvarado. And you can get EWTN News In-Depth delivered to your email box with details on each week's show. Simply go to EWTN.com/in-depth and sign up today. Couple of open phone lines for you at 833-288-EWTN as we come to you live from the exhibit hall at the Catholic Marketing Network event here in Birmingham this weekend, or this week, I should say. First up today on the phones is Michael in Denver, Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Michael, thanks so much for calling. You're on with Father Mitch.
Hey, Father Mitch. Good afternoon. God bless you. I would ask you to tell me whether there's any truth to what I've heard over the years, that if a Catholic attends Mass every day for 3 years, that Catholic will essentially hear the whole Bible preached to them. Is there any truth to that?
You would actually hear most of the Bible. There'd be, for instance, if you notice, we don't include any of the chapters that give the Old Testament genealogies. You have the genealogy of Jesus some of the cycles, but you don't read the lists of names in Genesis or Numbers, right? So you would miss that. But you get the majority of the rest of the Bible. Certainly the New Testament, and you get most of the Old Testament. Does that help?
That helps, Father. Thank you very much for the confirmation. God bless you.
God bless you. We appreciate the phone call today. That opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Linda in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Linda, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Just fine.
Okay, great. So I am a divorced Catholic. I was married for 20 years, three children together, and my husband became mentally abusive. Ultimately, we divorced. I did not seek an annulment. I hadn't planned on getting remarried, but I met someone, and we did marry. And I've been married to him for 25 years. My first husband works in a Catholic school and knew the priest very well, and I knew the priest very well. And I talked to him, and he said as far as he was concerned, that I could take Holy Communion. I did for a short time. I was a Eucharistic minister, and then I just felt funny about the whole thing, and so I stopped going to church. So recently, I wanted to get back involved with the church, and I went to see our current priest and explained to him the whole situation, and he absolved me. I asked him, I said, it's been 30 years, should I go to confession? And he said, I'll absolve you right now. And he gave me absolution, and I left, and I felt pretty good. The next day, I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, what if I have mortal sin? You know, and does that forgive that as well? And so when I saw him next, I asked him, I said, you know, does that include venial and mortal sins? And he goes, a sin is a sin, and left it at that. And I just haven't, I just felt really weird. I went to communion a couple of times, and then I stopped because I felt like I was doing something wrong. And I guess I just want some validation on whether or not I was actually given absolution, or if I need to go to confession and confess the last 30 years.
It sounds to me as if he gave you just a short shrift. You know, I would definitely go, maybe go seek out another priest who's going to... I'd make an appointment and tell a priest, look, Father, it's been 30 years since I've been to confession. I'd like to make a good confession and talk to him, because it certainly is the case that if you forget to confess a sin, it's considered forgiven. But then you would normally, if you remember a sin that you forgot, that you would bring it into confession later. You know, and just say, oh, Father, I forgot to say this, but this was a mortal sin, especially if it's a mortal sin. Take some time to do a good examination of conscience and talk to a priest, you know, where you can make an appointment. This is not something that should be, I think that he was precipitous and just doing this so quickly. So I would definitely... make an appointment and get a chance to lay out the situation to a priest so that it's something that is taken care of. And as far as a sin is a sin, no, some sins are definitely more serious than others. That's why it's what St. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 is all wrongdoing is sin. Not all sin is mortal, but some of it is. So it's in Scripture that we distinguish between mortal sin and venial sin. And I think you need to take some time to make a good examination of conscience and then go make an appointment and have the conversation and confession. Okay.
God bless you, Linda. We appreciate the phone call today. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next stop is Central Massachusetts. Barbara is in Massachusetts, listening on the EWTN app. Barbara, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch. Jak się masz?
Wszystko porządku. Dziękuję bardzo.
Dobrze, dobrze. My question is related to why Jews don't accept Jesus as the Messiah. If there are all these things written in the Old Testament that, according to the Jews, contradict Jesus being the Messiah, why is that? Wouldn't God want his chosen people to come to know the truth and accept Jesus as the Messiah?
Yeah, here's one of the things. I would want to see some of the specific objections they have. You know, I believe it was last week that we talked about David Goldberg. David Goldstein, who converted from Judaism and was very careful. And he was no slouch about his Judaism or his Catholicism. And he believed, and I've spoken to many, many other Jewish converts, but I also hear that there are Jewish people who think, no, it's not all fulfilled or something. I'd want to know specifically what they refer. That would be something very important, because I just can't go with a vague generality. I would have to know specifically what. And the only thing that I've heard is that some people, some Jewish people, say, well, if the Messiah were coming, then the world would be in perfect harmony and peace, and there's still turmoil. And our Lord had made it very clear that there is going to be that he will restore the world to what it's supposed to be, but there is this period now before the end of time that gives sinners an opportunity to repent. So rather than seeing that the ongoing existence of crime and sin is an opportunity, instead of seeing that as failure, St. Peter, in his epistle, the second epistle, chapter 3, mentions that this is God's patience, waiting for more people to have the opportunity to repent and have a transformation of life. So that's, you know, but I don't know what the specific other issues would be.
God bless you. Thanks so much. We appreciate the phone call today, Barbara, there in the great state of Massachusetts. This opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ephraim is watching us on YouTube in Nigeria, Father Mitch.
Yes.
And he wants you to kind of clear up. He says that lay people cannot bless water and make it holy water, but they can say grace and bless food. What's the difference?
Here would be the difference. A priest is given this authority, priest or bishop, to bless certain things with the guaranteed blessing of the church. So, you know, I have both the formula that is used by the church and the authority to use that formula. Very much the way, say, a policeman has the authority from the state to say, I arrest you in the name of the government of Nigeria or something. Or they used to put it like in the old Canadian Mounties thing, I arrest you in the name of the Queen. You know, he had the authority to do that. Whereas a citizen, at least in our country, I don't know about Nigeria, would have personal authority to make a citizen's arrest. But it doesn't have the same effect as an arrest by a designated policeman. That would be a rough comparison. And, you know, that when we bless food, or when parents bless their children and things like that, that is their personal blessing, whereas a priest can give the designated blessing commissioned by the church.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to a longtime member of the EWTN radio family, Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio, Mother Angelica's birthplace, and Cleveland, Ohio. Canton, Akron, and Cleveland reached by the signals of Living Bread Radio. They're celebrating their 19th year with EWTN. Congratulations to Barb Gaskell and her whole team at Living Bread Radio, who also brought you Dr. Ray Guarendi from all of us here at EWTN. Two open lines for you and plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Kathy in the great state of North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Kathy, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hello, Father Mitch. I have a question regarding the sacrament of the anointing, the last rite. Is it only a priest that can administer that sacrament, or can a deacon administer the last rite?
It is only a priest or bishop. Deacons don't have faculties to give the anointing of the sick.
Okay, but they can bring Holy Communion, they can bring communion and prayers, but not the sacrament. Is that correct?
Correct.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Kathy. We appreciate the call today. 833-288-EWTN. It's our toll-free number. Next up is Jeff in Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Jeff, you are on with Father Mitch. Jeff, are you there? Tell you what, let's go to Neil in the great state of Louisiana. And Neil is listening on the Amazon Echo. Neil, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hey, Father.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you?
I'd like to ask you something. I hope God doesn't think I'm a nut for these things. I long to see colors. I long, if he wants to let me have the gift of levitation, since I love flight. Is that wrong to ask?
Okay, you can ask so long as you're willing to accept the answer no, as well as yes. I mean, if don't try jumping off of things. But and as far as you being a nut, God would know that one way or the other, just like he knows it with all of us. You know, he knows what's in our minds better than we do. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, when we ask for a gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not in order to satisfy our own interests, like, oh, that'd be cool. It's not answering issues that would be in that category of bucket list issues. It's what is going to serve the church and serve our Lord. And how does this help promote the gospel of Christ? That's what you want to keep the focus on. I enjoy flying too, but I don't think I'd ask for levitation as a way to do that. I'll just keep paying for the ticket on, you know, Delta or whatever. But I think to keep very focused that when you ask for a spiritual gift, that it is always to be for the glory of the kingdom of God. Okay?
Let's head back to Colorado now. Jeff is listening on Catholic Radio Network. Jeff, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hey, Father, how's it going?
Fine.
Okay. Jesus said, repent and believe. And I imagine he used Aramaic. And I've heard that repent can mean, doesn't necessarily carry the meaning of return, of turning away from sin. What would the Aramaic meaning and connotation be?
Yeah, first of all, I don't have my Aramaic Bible with me. We're not, you know, I have that at my office, and I don't have it. I don't want to guess at it. I know that the word in Hebrew, and it's probably the same in Aramaic, but I'd want to make sure by looking at a text. But the word in Hebrew is shuv and tashuv. That this would mean just turning around. It does mean turning around, and turning around from sin. It's especially used in Jeremiah, and so it's not common in the Old Testament, but it is found in Jeremiah. And it is meaning turning away from or turning around from sin. So it would have that same nuance in Hebrew, but I'd want to make sure I looked at the Hebrew, the Aramaic text, and I just never paid attention to it. It's not something that shows up in the Aramaic sections of the Old Testament. Like Daniel, I don't see it there. But I would suspect it's the same as in Hebrew, which is what the Greek is trying to represent. It's turning around from going on a wrong path.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Open Line Wednesday, coming to you live from the floor of the Catholic Marketing Network Exhibition Hall here in Birmingham, Alabama for this week. And next up for us is Jacek in Plano, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jacek, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch. Such a pleasure to be able to talk to you. My question is what your thoughts are about the likelihood of reunification between the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic Church. To give a little context, I'm half Ukrainian, half Polish. My mother's Polish. My father, God bless him, passed away shortly after I was born. I was raised by my Catholic mother, but my father's side of the family is Eastern Orthodox. I never really got to meet or know any of that side of the family. Had a good relationship with other Eastern Europeans growing up here in Texas, going to Pascha with them, and them coming to our Easter, and we have a good sort of ecumenism going on here. I'm just curious sort of if we're maybe in a bubble, or if you think there's real prospect for reunification with the Eastern Orthodox on this side of heaven. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, we've had a number of times where there's been reunification and reconciliation. And I like to focus on it as being a matter of reconciliation, because, the divisions were not what Christ desired. When we talk about reunification, it sounds like one side wins or other. This is meant for everybody to win and everybody to have reconciliation with Christ and each other. And we've seen this a number of times, certainly at the Council of Florence in 1436, and then at a variety of other synods where the Eastern Orthodox and the Eastern Catholics experienced reconciliation. And we have those churches that still exist, where they are part of the Catholic Church. And this, I think, would be more possible. We have to keep in mind, in many circumstances, the various politicians found it advantageous to their agenda to keep separation. A good example would be during the time of the Soviet Union. They worked hard to make sure that they kept Catholics separated from the Orthodox. And they tried to force the Catholics to be Orthodox, and they just encouraged the tension. What you're describing is a good situation where people are not, you know, fighting with each other, and the politicians have no dog in the race, as we say down here in the South. And so it can ease up tensions when various political agendas don't instigate more tension and make possible, first of all, getting to know each other and pray together and recognizing the dignity of each other's true Christian life. And secondly, when that exists, then you can have a decent conversation between peers who try to understand each other rather than winning one side or the other. That would be the thing that I would look to.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. We head next to Alberta, Canada. Beverly is watching us on YouTube today. Beverly, you're on with Father Mitch.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Father.
Hi, what can we do for you?
My question is, what does the church teach concerning the guardian angel of a deceased person?
We don't have any specific teaching for this reason. Sacred Scripture does not tell us anything about the guardian angels for deceased persons. There's nothing that our Lord mentioned, and so the church doesn't speculate on that. I mean, various theologians might have an opinion, but the church doesn't give a definitive statement because the church's doctrine has to be rooted in sacred scripture and in the tradition. And so that would be one of the things that we don't have, so we don't guess. And we'll let our Lord sort that through. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Father.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Wednesday, again, coming to you live from the Exhibit Hall at the Catholic Marketing Network event for this year, 2023. Mm-hmm. EWTN Live tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Father Mitch welcomes the producer and director behind the new EWTN movie, To the Top, Daniela Guerreri and Fabio Carini, along with author Christine Wohar, and they discuss the life and witness of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. That's tonight, EWTN Live with Father Mitch, 8 Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio and Television. We're going to wear you out today.
I know.
Next up is Sydney, a first-time caller in Central Texas, listening on Armor of God Radio. Sydney, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hello, Father.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you?
In the 16 or 1700s in the United States, was there ever an attempt or an approval by bishops, perhaps, to allow for a Native American rite of Mass or some sort of American rite of Mass?
Not that I know of. Certainly the early missionaries, especially, I mean, I'm more familiar with the Jesuit missionaries, they did compose the first dictionaries and grammars of various languages of the original people here and worked with them. But I'd not heard anything about attempting to have a specific rite, and there would be two reasons for that. One, on the European side, there was already a lot of division in the church because of the Protestant Reformation, and people were doing a lot of their own things, and that there was a strongly felt need among Catholics to maintain a unity in the liturgical expression so that people don't go off on their own. as had been going on with so many of the Protestants. Secondly, there were so many nations here. Many of them were fairly, you know, the population was relatively small. Some were bigger than others, like the Iroquois Confederation was pretty large. Hurons were pretty large for a while till the Iroquois attacked. And other groups were very, very small. And so there would be no one, none of those societies had a culture that everybody could agree was normative Native American culture. And you'd have to come up with a right for very, very diverse societies. Sometimes we forget that the Native Americans and Canadians were quite diverse. They also didn't all like each other. They tried to wipe each other out. The Sioux enslaved a number of groups. Once the Lakota Sioux learned how to use horses, they created their own empire. Cheyenne also had three large areas out west that were their territories, and they fought among themselves as well. They hated the Apache and vice versa. And there was just no way to have one Native American right. So I think that also served to prevent it. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much.
Sure.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. We head next to Duluth, Minnesota. Ann is another first-time caller listening on Real Presence Radio. Ann, you are on with Father Mitch.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Father Mitch. I have a question about, I know that the Catholic Church allows cremation now, and my question regarding that is, I mean, first of all, they don't want the ashes distributed like in little amulets or necklaces or anything like that. So they want to keep the body together. What about organ donation? If you are an organ donor, can you still be an organ donor? Does the church approve of that?
Yeah, you know, in as far as organ donors go, the rest of their body is kept together. You know, that they can donate an organ to a living person, but the rest of their body stays together, and you bury it or cremate and put the cremains keep them together. That's, you know, considered a service to help people who are ill. But that's something that is an ongoing, still living organ. You know, when you transfer an organ from one person to another, it remains alive. So, it's not a dead organ. If it were, then you would put it with the rest of the person's remains. But in that case, it's still alive, so it will be buried with the person who ends up using it.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. We head now to the great state of Connecticut. Joseph is listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Joseph, you are on with Father Mitch.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a conundrum. My wife's great niece declared herself to be homosexual. It was a coming out party. And I said something to the effect, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I believe that's probably the true definition of that saying. And it seems like there's a little dust up going on between her niece and her great niece and myself concerning this subject. I'm wondering how I should broach it, as a good Catholic, should I approach the subject of homosexuality?
Sure.
And as a caveat, my brother was a priest, and he was down at EWTN, and he was a friend of Father Trillo. So it's an honor to talk to you, Father Mitch.
Well, thank you. Here's a couple things. When you say that there's a dust up, what is it that they are angry about? I don't quite understand what the specific issue at hand is.
The issue at hand is the fact that there's an opinion that doesn't favor the idea that this person made this kind of choice. That comes out of my beliefs that it cries out to heaven for vengeance, so to speak. Sure. And they're very sensitive about this subject. She hasn't had a lot of religious formation whatsoever. So surprising that this occurred. So I'm just trying to introduce the mustard seed.
Yeah. Joseph, I'd say a couple things. There are a couple approaches you can take. So they apparently know that you don't approve of this. And, you know, I think on your part, you will need to become much better informed. I've known other people in this kind of situation where they're dealing with this, and it's fairly one-sided that if you disagree with this person's expression of being homosexual, then you are bad. On what basis? You know, this is one of the things you have to deal with. Why am I wrong? And not to say that rhetorically, but what is it that makes me wrong? That's one point that you may have to express to them. And secondly, you need to become much better informed about homosexuality and its effects. I'm going to make a recommendation, a book that should be very helpful to you. It's called One Man, One Woman by Dale O'Leary. And it's basically a presentation of studies of what's going on in the gay community. You need to not only read her book, but look up some of the research, and especially some of the research on lesbianism. It's very interesting, the level of research that's being done on that, and especially dealing with questions about anger that goes on. Look up the papers and books she cites in that book so that you are well informed and you can have a discussion that is not based on her feelings versus your feelings, but you can say, here's data. Now, let me also state this at the outset. Coming up with scientific data is considered oppressive. That's not acceptable for a lot of these folks who are arguing the other side. They'll call for science when it comes to climate change, but not, when these questions. So you just have to, hold on tight in dealing with this, but have your data. You have the notions of the faith, and you're going to have to find out other levels of data that actually explain why the faith is correct. And do it as calm as you can. A friend of mine just had to deal with that with a young lady, but it ended up that she could see what he was saying, and now she's kind of stopped doing all that stuff. She's moved away from all that. So setting a seed may actually have a very good effect.
God bless you. We are happy for your phone call today, and know that a lot of people will be praying, Joseph, on behalf of you and your family situation. Again, we're coming to you live today from the Catholic Marketing Network event here in Birmingham, and I want to encourage everybody to support your Catholic, your local Catholic businesses, your local Catholic bookstores. They rely on you to continue the great work that they are about. Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Lord, bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. Lead you in all of your ways by His peace, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Mitch Pacwar, producer Michael McCall, call screener Matt Kubensky, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it again tomorrow with Father Brian Milady on Open Line Thursday. Until we get together then, God bless.